Hallelujah. I'll read one scripture for you, or maybe two, and I'll let you be seated and I'll read some more. Jesus speaking in that last day. Now, it puts a comma here. It's not just the last day, that great day of the feast. It was the last day, but it was that great day of the feast. It's like a lot of times the fireworks don't go off at the party or at the fair or wherever it is till the last day. They try to get you to stay for the last day. So we're talking here about the last day, that great day. It was a momentum was traveling toward this climactic day. And on that last day, that great day of the feast, listen, Jesus stood. Well, that's not what they come to see. That's not what they were thinking. Jesus stood and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He said that on that last day of the feast. When they were expecting the fireworks to go off, Jesus stands up. "Anybody thirsty?" "Well, I got water." He was calling sinners to repentance. He was calling for the people that understood what he was talking about. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Woo, hallelujah. He was saying, one drink of this and you turn into a flood. You turn into a river. Hallelujah. "Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Let's pray. God, I come before you this morning knowing that you know all things from the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. And you knew when you stood up who would hear your voice and who wouldn't. And the same is true today, for you said you will know them if they listen and hearken unto you. For if they don't, they're not of me. So, Lord, help us to find those lost sheep of Israel that you spoke of. Let people, Lord, that have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to read a little bit more. That last verse said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, inside of him," it comes from inside, "he would have rivers of living water," or rivers of flowing out of his belly. Now, verse 39 said, "But this," see, in parentheses, the explanation. You always got to look at what's in the parentheses. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." So he's speaking about the Spirit, that they that would believe on him. How many of you believe on him? Okay. So I'm talking to all of you. Anybody who believes on him. Because you can't receive this without first believing on him. "They which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given." What was the Holy Ghost? It was the Spirit of the departed one. It could not be given until he sent it back. It's called the Comforter. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not accomplished his mission yet. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said, 'Wow, of a truth, he is the prophet.'" The prophet. Capital. "Others said, 'This is the Christ.'" But there's always that. There's always somebody that's going to put a little doubt. But some said, "It can't be the Christ. Shall Christ come out of the scum, the slum, the boulevard, Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Didn't David sit on a throne? Didn't David have all kinds of stuff and chariots and wives and all this kind of stuff? And out of the town of Bethlehem where David was, he's from Galilee." So there was division. Let me tell you what the enemy wants. Hello, division. If he can get division, he wins. Because unification always works. But there was strife sown among the people. No, that can't be the Christ, because if it was the Christ, he wouldn't do that. If he was a prophet, he ought to know that one was a sinner. If he was this, he ought to know. That's division. and the division among the people, so that doubt began to sneak in about his authenticity and his identity. Now, keep that in your little pea brain up there. I'm going to go now to Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. I haven't given you my title yet. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he saith unto them, have ye received, this Holy Ghost since ye believe? See, he said that them that believe should receive. So he finds these believers that are believing on Christ, but they have not received the Holy Ghost. So he said, have you received since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard, whether there be any Holy Ghost. Wow, they're believing and don't even know there's a ghost. And he said unto them, he didn't ridicule them. He didn't say, well, you're headed for hell. No, what he said was, let's talk about this. If you believe, you must believe something. Because when you're baptized with something, you believe in what you're baptized in. And he said, what then were ye baptized? Unto what? And they said, unto John's baptism. Oh, okay, I know John. And then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto them that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were rebaptized, or baptized in the name, there we are, that back to that name, they took on, because when you baptize in something, you take it on. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I want to talk this morning on this title, It Made a Believer Out of Me. It Made a Believer Out of Me. I couldn't help but think, I recently talked about Brother Doucette and how that he was a believer, but he wasn't sure about this Holy Ghost thing. Am I right? So I just got to see. I want to talk about different levels of believing so that you don't get stuck on one level thinking that's all there is to it. Would you stay with me this morning? Now, I have talked to Brother Richard and his good wife, Amy. I'm telling you, they are so excited, but not as excited as me. Hallelujah. Because they're going in past just believing on him and receiving him. Now watch. So what do you do when people just don't believe? You know what you do? Say, you don't believe me? Well, let me show you. You don't believe me? Well, let me show you. Because when I show you, you will believe me. Now, that's kind of counterproductive, right? It kills your faith to see it. If I show you, then you don't have really faith anymore. The Bible says, what would a man hope for? If he sees what he hopes for, he no longer hopes for it, for he sees it. And so many times we try to convince people that are skeptical. How many of you are skeptical? No, it's okay. Everybody's got a little bit of skepticism in there. Whether we admit it or not, you got skepticism. A lot of people are doubtful. And then there's a lot of critical people. Then there's those that are leery. They're just, we could preach on all these people. Leery. I'm just leery. And many times the scripture used the phrase, and they believed on him. I couldn't count how many times, well, I could have, I didn't count. How many times it said, and they believed on him. You know why? Raise somebody from the dead. Hey, open some blind eyes, and they believed on him. Healed him of the leprosy, and they believed on him. You don't believe me that I'm the Son of God? Let me show you. And so it was so much so that Jesus himself, he said, I do miracles that you might believe. I previously mentioned about the disciples following Christ, but they were following him and they were leery. They were still skeptical, still unknowing really what they were following. But when the Bible says when he turned the water into wine, then they believed on him. What does God have to do? Well, I'm talking to the choir this morning because all of you believe on him or you wouldn't be here. But I'm going deeper. I'm going deeper. You see, one night Peter was toiling and he had fished all night, and the Lord said unto him, Richard, have you caught any fish? Nothing. We will cast your net on the other side and you shall find. Ah, but master, we have toiled all night. See, they caught fish at night. This is daytime. They trolled, they did butterflies, whatever, wing. I don't know what they did, but you catch them at night when they're unaware. Now it's daytime, and he's saying, throw your net on the other side, and you shall find you've got to be crazy. Nevertheless, at thy word, that's the faith you need. Nevertheless, at thy word, and they cast out the net, and they caught so many fish, they had to call to their partners. You see, you know it's God when you go from nothing to I can't handle it. I go from emptiness to abundance. Oh, hallelujah, you know it's God. So when he saw the abundance, the Bible says, of fish, he put himself down at the feet of Jesus and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But he followed him. I don't know who cleaned all those fish, but there was a bunch of them. And he followed him. You see, what does it take to get you to believe? To Nathanael, I've mentioned recently, as Nathanael approaches, he said, oh, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. I saw you when you were sitting under that fig tree. Lord, you are a prophet. You are the one. He said, you believe just because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than this. The heavens will open, and you're going to see angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. You think you believe now? You just wait. To the woman at the well, sitting there, you know, Jesus was sitting on the well. It was a well sitting on a well as he waited for this woman to come and talk to her about prayer and about, if you add the water that I give, you'd never give me of this water. But then he began to tell her. He said, I go back and tell my husband. Wait a minute. That one you're with, not your husband. And you had five others. And he began to read her story. And when she heard that, you are a prophet indeed. You're going to see greater things than that. It took that to get her convinced about this living water. And when he began to prophesy unto her, that's why if I get me a prophet in here, we'll pack the house out. Because people want to hear, you know, the unknown. Lazarus dies, unbelievers all around. You'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He'd still be alive. Jesus, I called for you, in 4 days you waited. You shouldn't have been here. Where were you? He said, don't you believe that your brother shall live? Oh, yeah, I know. It's always in the future. We're always going to get our life right in the future. And yeah, I know he'll live in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. And when he called Lazarus to come out of that grave, then they believed on him. What is it going to take to get you to fully believe? Did you know there's levels of believing? In one place Paul said, I partly believe you. And then I believe you. And then there's I fully believe you. I want you to be, as Abraham was called, fully persuaded. What does it take? A miracle? Open blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, all these things to make you believe on him. Well, again, I'm preaching to people that believe on him. Even Jesus' own disciples scolded him. You'd have to read real close in chapter 7 of John. And he talks about how that he was doing these miracles, like turning the water into wine. You notice he said, don't tell anybody. He healed a blind man. Don't tell anybody. And his disciples came to him. You read it in John chapter 7. His disciples came to him and said, now, wait a minute. No man that can do these kind of miracles wants to continue to do them in private, but he will show himself to the whole world. It says, for even his brethren did not believe on him. Even his own brethren, it's in the book, Acts, John chapter 7, did not believe on him. Why you keep doing it in secret? He said, mine hour and time has not come. He said, but yours has. Yours has. I've let you see what the world doesn't see. Let me tell you, God's letting you see what the world still doesn't see. He's letting you see how close this thing is fixing to be over, and the world doesn't see it. They're going to eat and drink and be merry till the day that it rained and Noah went to the ark. They'll do the same thing in our day and time when the world ends, and they knew it not. What does it take to get you to believe? Let's go to new levels of believing today. When you look at all the miracles, they followed him and followed him for fishes and loaves. And he rebuked them. Would you follow me for the fishes and the loaves? And he rebuked them for following him just for miracles. But by the time we get to the cross, listen to me, the miracles did not matter. When trouble comes, the miracles did not matter. All that matters is, do you believe on me? They're all gone. John showed up at the cross. Didn't mean he believed on him. He just showed up, took Mary, Jesus' mother, home with him and took care of her. The cross looked like the end of the miraculous. I guess, you know, even the ones on the road to Emmaus said, you know, he's gone. I thought he would be the Savior. I thought this was going to be the guy, but, you know, it is the third day. I hadn't heard a word, and they were walking with him. And so then of course, as we know, the greatest miracle was yet to come. Sometimes it's when everybody gives up on you is when the Lord comes in. Can you say amen? When they looked at Moses and said, Moses, did you get us out here to die? Moses looked at the Lord and said, what are we going to do? He said, that's all right. This is when I step in. And I believe that. So the greatest miracle happened in the absence. Now listen close. The greatest miracle that ever happened in the absence of a witness. Nobody there. Nobody there to check him again, check the tomb again, check it again. No, nobody's there. And the greatest miracle was occurring, but they had all given up and hiding. There was no witness of his resurrection of coming out of the grave. There were witnesses that the stone was rolled away. There was witnesses that angels were there. There was witnesses of the napkin that was folded, his garments that was folded. All of these witnesses, but nobody saw him. So that tells me we still got to believe on him. But when he came out of the grave, the Bible says that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible truths. But listen close. But only to those that believed on him. He did not reveal himself to those who did not believe on him. He met in closed doors. In business meetings, if you will, well, they were huddled up together, he'd walk in. By many infallible proofs did he show himself, but only to the ones that believed on him. At the cross, everybody had left him. Everybody had forsaken him at the cross. But a believer after the cross is what he was looking for. Not a believer to the cross, but a believer after the cross, because you still gotta take it by faith, because there's no witness. When the resurrected Christ walked through shut doors after his resurrection, we find them huddled up in their little business meeting, and what are we going to do? Man, I'm scared. I don't know. I'm scared too. I don't know. This Jesus thing, I don't know about this. That kingdom stuff. Lord, I wish I'd have never met that man. Oh, man, I'd just be better off. I just never met him before in my life. And about that time, there's about 11 of them huddled up. In walks the infallible proof. In walked, and the doors, it said, being shut. Woo! You look. Did you open that door? No, it must be a ghost in here. They were beginning to understand this ghost thing. Woo! Feeling the hair come up on the back. Ghost in there. That ain't there. No, that's not real. That's not real. You see, that's what they thought when he's walking in the water. That's not real. That's a spirit. That's not real. And so he walks in there, and they said, it is a spirit. It's a spirit. John, it's a spirit. Tell me it's a spirit. Please tell me it's a spirit. Luke, isn't that a spirit? It's a spirit, isn't it? And Jesus said, you have any meat? And they took and gave him fish. And the Bible says they ate in front of him, and they believed on him. What's it going to take to get you to believe on him? Does he have to walk through a door today? Does he have to eat fish in front of you? What does he have to do to get you to believe on him? Now, after 40 days of him showing himself alive, he ascended back into heaven, telling them that I'm going to send back that ghost. I'm going to send back that comforter. Comforter don't sound like they go together to me. A ghost and a comforter, a comforting ghost. I'm going to send back the comforter, and I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And they ask you, now what you're going to believe? What level are you at? Just the believing on him? Or can you take another step of faith and then another step of faith? So I want to tell you, this was the third kind of believer. Those that believed on the Holy Ghost, not just on him, but on the Holy Ghost. So when we go back and we look at the prophetic words of Christ on the last day of that great feast, did he not say, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, that out of his belly would flow rivers of living water, this spake he of the Ghost, that they that believed on him should receive. They couldn't receive him while he was in a bodily form. But he told them, eat, this is my flesh, drink, this is my blood, meaning symbolic of taking my spirit in. So there must be more to it, my brothers and sisters, than just believing on him as the Son of God. So Jesus was speaking beyond the miracles. He was speaking beyond those that followed him for what they could get out of him, because the cross separated them out. And trouble always separates people out. It always does. And so we have right here, only those that believe now on him will go to Jerusalem to tarry. If you don't believe on the Holy Ghost, don't go. You don't need to go. But if you believe that he's going to send back a comforter, you go. And the only ones there out of the 120 were the ones that believed on him. Including Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Bible says, was there. Whew. Jesus was wanted you to go beyond the miracles and to believe that he would give you his spirit to live in you. And then we find, as I hurry along this morning, that on the day of Pentecost, God filled them all that believed on him, as the scripture hath said. And what day was it, by the way? Hello, the great day of the feast. You missed it. It was when the day of Pentecost was fully come. It was the same day of the feast where he said, if any man thirst, it was the great day of the feast. It was the climatic thing. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as of the fire. And they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. This was the great day. How many can tell that was my great day too? That was my great day too. Hallelujah. And when you fully believe, Richard and Amy, that's your great day. When you fully believe that the Holy Ghost is for me, it's with me, I am kept by it, it is everything to me. I was talking with Richard the other day. He said, I got to have it. I need it. I need it. I need it right now. He that's hungry and thirsty, let him come after me. Let him chase me down. But if you don't believe in the ghost, then sit and play tiddlywinks, or twiddlywinks, as I say dyslexically. But if you believe on the ghost and you really believe it, you gotta have it. I gotta have it. I can't wait to get it. Because I'm thirsty for something that I haven't really found. Whew. My. Can I go just a little deeper? A little bit deeper. I want you to listen to me. Jesus did miracles and unbelieving people believed on him. They did not believe until he did the miracles. They even come back, show us a sign. He said, you'll see no sign. But he did miracles as a sign that he was the Son of God. Now, there are people that believe on him and have seen no miracle. I believe within our midst today, some of you may not want to say, so I won't ask for a show of hands. I've never seen a miracle. Never seen one. But I believe. I believe on Christ. I fully believe that he was the Son of God. I fully believe that he died and he rose again. I fully believe that. Even if you haven't seen a miracle or received the Holy Ghost, you can believe that. And that, my brothers and sisters, is being persuaded to believe on him. But he told Thomas, blessed are your eyes for you see, but more blessed are those who don't see and believe on him. So believing on him never constituted the essence of receiving the Holy Ghost. It never did. For even Simon the sorcerer believed on the Holy Ghost and didn't receive it. Devils believe in one God and they don't have it. So believing on him is not the depth of believing that he spoke of. For he that believeth on me should receive, he said, the Holy Ghost. It's a new believer, my brothers and sisters. It's people that go beyond believing on him to be the Son of God to believing that he sent back the Comforter to keep you and to save you. And Jesus said that if you receive me, are my words, then you have received me. And if you receive me, you have received my Father. And so we find, as I wind this thing down, you find that Paul, the evangelist, who too didn't believe in the ghost, he's on the road to Damascus, killing Christians. What's it going to take to get him to, let me tell you, the stronger will the person is, the more it takes to make them believe. What's it going to take to get Paul to believe? The Lord said, I can handle him. God knows how to change your mind. There he is going down the road to Damascus, going to kill some Christians, got papers in his pocket, and all of a sudden a light shines down on him and blinds him. And he says, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus. It is hard to kick against the pricks. Lord, this is where people mess up. What must I do? See, he got a tough man to say, what you want me to do? He knows how to change you to say, what you want me to do? What is it you want? And he said, I want you to go to one Ananias' house, and there it will be shown you what you, and if you want to do it, it's okay, must do. He goes to Ananias' house. You know the story. Ananias preached to him, and Mr. Tough Paul, was Saul. Oh, that gets back to my circumcision, doesn't it? He was Saul, but once he took on the circumcision of the heart, he became Paul. And he received, the Bible says, he received the Holy Ghost. And the same man went back to the same people that he once said, that Jesus is no good. Let me tell you something, don't believe in that ghost, it's nothing to it. Now he's going back, there's something to this thing. Let me tell you something. What's it going to take to get you to believe the Holy Ghost is real? What will it take? I'm talking about a deeper believer than just believing on him. You can see no miracles and believe that. But Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost that we might believe on him and receive the Spirit that he sent back. And I want you to understand that you can never, ever receive what you don't believe in. You have to have faith in it to receive it. Hallelujah. As they come this morning, they come up to this group of people. Listen close. Paul did. The converted Paul. The Holy Ghost filled Paul. The new conversion Paul. The Paul, the once radical this way, now the radical that way. He comes up and he finds certain disciples at around the coast of Ephesus. And he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, because he remembered that great day of the feast. He remembers how great that day was for him, too. So he said, have you received the Ghost since you believed? And what did they say? Yeah. He said, we have not so much as heard if there be any Holy Ghost. You cannot receive what you have not heard. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of the Lord. Oh, a ghost? Really? Tell me about this ghost. He said, John said it. He said, there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear, the one that baptized you. He said, I do indeed baptize with water under repentance. But he said, there is one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, as they say around here, with fire. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when they heard that, give me that ghost. Woo! See, they believe. I'm talking about a third generation believer. You believe on God. You believe on the Son of Man. You believe he is rose again. But you have to believe on the ghost. And when they heard that, they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And began to prophesy. Woo. Now, they weren't saying prophecy like you think of prophecy, like what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, and what's going to happen in your life, and all this kind of stuff. That's not what they're doing. But boy, they were going, it's real. It's real. Woo! This Holy Ghost stuff, it's real. And they began to prophesy or to speak anointedly about what they had received. For a prophet only speaks what he receives. So prophet said, and the word of the Lord came upon me and said, and when they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak about what they had received. Woo! Hallelujah. So this morning, I want me some third generation believers this morning as they sing. I want you to come, hallelujah, come believing that it is for you, for this promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are far off, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's not just to those that believe on him, it's those that believe in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Sing it on down.